Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You're tuned to Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe, at 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time on July the 3rd, 2014. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna from Team Radio Sai. Dear listeners, as I'm away from the studio this morning, I have pre-recorded today's episode of Morning Glory and beg your forgiveness as it is not really live from the studio. Meanwhile, I hope you enjoyed Sunrise with Sai earlier this morning, followed by the live Vedam and Bhajans from the Sai Kulwant Hall. The chanting of the Sai Gayatri is continuing in the Mandir right now as devotees are lined up for the darshan of the Divine Mahasamadhi. The weather in Prashanti Nilayam these days continues to be easy breezy and really pleasant. My colleague Brother Raghu will update you on the current temperatures today in the next segment, Service Love in Action. Overall, I can say with confidence that Prashanti Nilayam is breezier and cooler and a lot more pleasant now than it was a month ago. And the ashram appears ready for the world that is descending here every single day. Trains, planes and automobiles are bringing devotees every hour to participate in the upcoming festivities leading up to Guru Purnima on July the 12th. One never gets bored of just watching the devotees file into the Sai Kulwant Hall. To me, the sight is like a montage from the National Geographic TV channel. Right now in the ashram, one can see people from every part of India and also from every part of the world in a variety of skin tones and costumes representing cultures both familiar and not. But who can miss their love for the avatar that has drawn them here? Let me tell you the reason for the growing crowds here. The next few weeks are packed with the number of celebrations and conferences, and each one reaffirms the solid commitment of Bhagwan Baba's devotees to his mission and his message. Before we go on with the two programs that I have lined up for today's segment of Morning Glory, here's a quick wrap-up of what's making news in the world's holiest and most happening spiritual vortex called Prashanti Nilayam. Recently, on June the 29th, the meditation tree turned 55. The Vatavriksha is the grand old banyan tree that spiritual seekers from everywhere flock to for quiet contemplation. It is located en route the administrative building of the Sai University and it overlooks the ashram. 55 years ago, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba planted it on June the 29th. It is famous all over the world for its sacred energy and its mystical power and ability to still the mind. It is believed that Himalayan masters have vision of this tree that the avatar of the Kali age has planted to calm down the confusion and the craziness of our contemporary lives in the Kali age. So, on the 55th birthday of the Vatavriksha, the meditation tree, you, dear sisters and brothers, are invited to experience your Zen moment of stillness under its shade whenever you're in Prashanti Nilayam next. July also happens to be the month when devotees from the Indian states of Maharashtra and Goa are expected to lift our spirits with their energetic celebrations of the holy Ashadi Ekadashi, as they have done for decades now. As per tradition, a contingent of pilgrims known as Varkaris undertake this walking procession and they sing the glory of God as they walk on foot from Dharmavaram all the way to Prashanti Nilayam. This spiritual tradition continues to draw men and women and children from the states of Maharashtra and Goa every year at Ashadi Ekadashi. Of course, we all know the month of July is always associated with the Guru Purnima festival, which this year, as I said earlier, falls on Saturday, July the 12th, 2014. Along with the celebrations in Prashanthi Nilayam, every single Sai center and every single Sai Samiti in India and in another 120 countries will offer homage to the supreme universal teacher, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, on this day. As we approach Guru Purnima, dear brothers and sisters, let me remind you that Radio Sai's initiative Thursday Live is an attempt by our entire team to keep you feeling joyful and inspired and totally connected to the divine vibe of Prashanthi Nilayam all through the day, every single Thursday. But we really don't want to keep going on and on without a clear and resounding feedback from our listeners. So what we are asking you is this, namely, is Thursday Live really working for you? What else can we do to serve you better? Would you care to hear something different? Or more of one thing, less of another? Radio Sai truly is Swami's gift to all of us. So please, please go ahead and tell us what's on your mind. And you know where to reach us. As always, our email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. That is listener@radiosai.org. With that, I am ready to play the third and final part of my Triswit Divinity conversation with Miss Rani Java of Bangalore. This is such an enjoyable interview, and in case you have missed the first two parts, I urge you to download them from our Thursday Live archive page of the past 2 weeks, that is of June 26th and June 19th, 2014, and enjoy it. Obviously, part 1 was aired on June 19th, part 2 on June 26th. Here then is the final and third part of this Triswit Divinity conversation with Miss Rani Java. But first, here is an important message.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises, and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970, when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and, of course, tiny little rosebuds, which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger. Mm-hmm. And just like a movie or a video, mm-hmm. right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love all, serve all. We've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock because we put it on millions and millions of T-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, love all, serve all. We put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Triswit Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Trist with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. Or, you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/trist. That is radiosai.org/TRYST or TRYST. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Rani, Swami says that to whom much is given, much is expected as well. And he has put you through the ringer and really tested you. Now, today when you look at your life, what do you treasure more? The years you spent in his physical proximity or the inner view that you asked him for, which you still have?
Let me tell you, the inner view came only after being proximate to him by his physical nature. And he helped me to develop it. So for me, both are on par. I don't have that. Both are dependable on each other. If I did not have that physical closeness to Swami, I would have not developed this inner.
You think so? But what about people who have never seen him, who are going to be born yet and become Sai devotees, or those who came to know of Swami after Mahasamadhi?
No, I'm very different. It was his love and his the attraction towards him, and maybe it was inborn, I'm not sure, but I give all the credit to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
because he helped me to...
How did you develop this? How did he help you to develop inner view?
I told you that interview, yeah. I told him. So he said, okay, you have to develop the inner view.
How?
And he made me practice on that. He said, talk to your conscious and I will reply to you through your conscious. So anything I want and all, I just look inward and I talk to him. Because japam, meditation, everything Swami thought. So it was not difficult trying to practice. He said that this world is a maya. Just forget everything and just look at we are all apart. He says, you and I are same. There is no difference. Look at, in everyone you see Swami. That's why I see Swami in everyone. I don't have any enemies. If anyone says, what is enemy? I just think and look, what is enemy? Be it a rickshaw man, be it anyone. I've always seen God in everyone.
And how do you feel about the people who cheated you and made you lose 2 crore rupees?
I've forgiven them. Thank God they did that because I was free that time and the awakening helped me to make my webs. I did my pilgrimageofindia.com and Sai Info. All what I had experience, it made me put it into words. If I had my company running, I don't think I would have done that. At least after I go, my 2 websites are there where people can learn. Any place in India you want to go, it's there. Like there was this, I wanted to go to Mount Kailash. That is an experience worth telling you. And Swami always said, no, no, no. From 3-4 years he said no. And the Chinese government was also rejecting me because of my overweight. Then I decided that I have to do Ayurvedic and reduce. So I reduced 15 kgs, but still I was not in their thing. But they said, okay, she's lost 15 kgs. We'll give her the visa. And they said, we'll see her making ice cream from the snow, you know, because everyone called me as the ice cream girl. Then I asked Swami. He was not giving permission. It so happened Swami was leaving Bombay by flight. And my mother accompanied my father that time, because that time they had decided the couples, the Seva Samati couples can go. So my mother had gone. And daddy was sitting just behind Swami. So my mother told him, ask, because without his permission, they will not send me. Because they say ticket to Mansoor Kailash is one-way ticket. So my father says, Swami, Rani again wants to go to Mount Kailash. So Swami said, why? So daddy says, Swami, you know her why, no? There's no answer to her why. So Swami started thinking, then he said, okay, let her go, but tell her not to do the parikrama of Kailash. I did not mind that. He says, tell her not to do the parikrama, but tell her to go to Kailash. So Swami gave me the permission. I have the photo of my father and mother standing next to Swami in the flight and the date put in, because that was the day I got the permission to go to.
What was the date?
It was 15th of May. 1994. So 94-95. So then I was very happy when my father told me, in Dubai and daddy and everyone offered me car, they offered me so many things that I cancelled my trip.
Nice bribes.
They gave me all the bribes, you know, but I was very much inclined to go to Mount Kailash because I love Shiva. I love Shiva like anything. Though we are Krishna-wise, but I love Shiva. And I, from the last more than 35 years, I make on, in Dasara, the Bhajji makes those clay shivlings. So when I was small, he taught me how to make that. So I make one shivling every day in Shivratri month and I do my puja on that. So I told my dad I have to go. There is no way that I cannot go. And I had a lot of anger. They used to tease me, you have Shiva's anger. I said, I have to give up this anger. So I have to go to Kailash. And when I reached the airport, the lights went off. First time in Bombay. So my father said, see, the omen is so bad. Stay back, stay back. I said, omen and all, I don't believe in that. Dad, I've taken the step, I am going. It's a one-way ticket and I told Alvida to the family. I said, thanks for everything and I left. When I reached over there, it was, and I always take the trips in Shravan month. because it's the most dangerous, because aise uska phal jaasti milta hai. So I started always.
It's harder, but the benefit is greater. Yes.
Like even Badrinath, Kedarnath, all that I did.
What
always.
Adventurous girl! You're like a Bond girl. You do things when they're the hardest.
I like to do that, you know, because
no easy route.
I always felt that when people say, like, I want to drive the car, and my brother said, you take the car with the disabled car. But I had to put a sticker behind that I'm a disabled person. I said, no, I'm not disabled. I will not put the sticker. So I drove the car. I took my license, but after banging a little bit here and there, I just stopped driving. But I took a license. I said, I'll not put the sticker, I'm a disabled. Even income tax, I don't claim that I'm a disabled person to take the benefits. No, I never say I'm a disabled person. Yes, the only place where I use my polio certificate is in Shirdi, because the steps are too many to go round and round. So there, if I show my certificate of my polio paralysis, they allow me to go to the front gate and I go straight in. Only in Shirdi I use it over there. Otherwise, nowhere else.
So at the airport, when you had this omen of the light?
I went.
You went.
I went. I would not turn back at all. And then luckily, see, Shiva Swami always tells me. I saw Swami as Shiva, you know. He prompted me. I make those clay. So just before going to the airport, I suddenly realized with all these people stopping me that I had to get the clay. So on the way to the airport, I picked up the clay and everything. And this clay is a plaster of Paris. And I took it with me to Kailash. Now over there, Swami saved me 2-3 times. I did not do the parikrama of Kailash, but I made that 108
lingams,
and I didn't know. I was sitting in the van, and I had put on the cassette, and it was a Shiv Tandava cassette, and there was literally Shiv Tandava going on in the Kailash. And the Chinese driver came and said, stop that music, stop the music, see what you have done. I said, what happened? He says, see the dark clouds. You have put the Shiv Tandava. I said, oh my lord. And I immediately...
The Chinese driver?
Yeah, because it's China, no?
Right.
We had to go
and
to China.
And he knew that the Shiv Tandava has...
Yeah. They know all the things. They know everything. But in there, the only thing is that, you know, you cannot smile and joke and all. It will be very serious, which was very difficult for me. At every place where we had to go through their customs, I was always smiling. And they should tell me, just stop smiling, you know. So then I stopped smiling. And I went there. I did that 108 Jyotirling. And then we did the parikrama of the 108 Jyotirling. We had one Brahmin Jyotshi. So he did the puja and all. Then we did the puja completely. Then they say Kuber's curse is there. So I had taken silver billies and I had taken gold, small snakes and money and all that. So what was my curse for God's marriage, I put it in the Mansover. And very nice darshan I had, and we were coming. On the return, there was a landslide. There was no way that the car could reach to the bus. So I had told my parents, Alvida, no? So I told these guys, no, I'm staying here. Don't worry, you all carry on. They said, no, we can't leave you here. So two guys, I took a Sherpa, and two guys helped me. They said, we'll hold your hand. But when my feet sees an uneven ground, no, it starts shivering.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only problem I have even now. If the road is straight, I can walk beautifully. But if there are all those rubbles and all that, no, then my leg has no control. It just starts wobbling like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was worried that, you know, down it's all the mountains and valleys and all. I'll pull down someone, and they were all family people. So I was telling them, brother, leave my hand, you all go. I don't want to take you all because you all have family. I don't have family. I'm alone. Let me go. Let me stay back. All of a sudden, a Sherpa came with curly, curly hair, and it was our good Swami.
Did you know that at that time?
No, I will tell you how I came to know. He came, he said, he was dark, curly hair. He came, he held my hand, and that was the first time, such a strong hand.
Grip, huh?
Very tight grip. And he said, walk in my footprints.
Oh, so he would make the footprints and you just step behind.
I just stepped on the footprints.
Mm.
I didn't look. And of course, you know, the only thing in my life I know to say is Om Sai Ram. So I was busy with my Om Sai Ram, and I didn't realize I was the first person to cross the landslide. I put my feet in the footprints of Swami and I walked. As soon as I reached the other side, he put me in the bus. He went and told the lady, make a good ginger tea. Because I was all shaking. So I had the tea and then I thought, okay, now I'm feeling better. I better go and pay the tea lady and I pay the Sherpa. I went out, the lady said, no, the money has been paid. I said, where's the Sherpa? I have to pay him. She said that, no, the Sherpa has gone. He's vanished. I said, oh my Lord. Then I realized. And as soon as I reached Nepal, I called up my father and I told, Dad was in Vrindavan that time. So he told Swami. Swami said, what can I do? I told her not to go, but she wanted to go. And then this landslide was there. So I had to go and help her to cross the path because the only thing she can say is Om Sai Ram. So he came to me 3 times in my life. This was one of the incidents.
What were the other two?
The other two was once he asked me to go abroad, as I told you, 3 months, 90 days before I lost my wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly before I lost the wealth. He wanted me to have a nice time. He asked me to go abroad. He did made my itinerary. And my first host, I didn't even know him, but he was a Swami devotee and Swami said, you go to him. I said, okay, Swami. I'm from Bangalore. I caught the flight. The flight goes Bombay, Delhi, and then you reach Paris. I reached Paris, and that was 2000, the year where they had...
Right, okay, bug on the computers?
On the computer, and it was also the year when the world would come to an end.
Oh, I see. It's been wanting to come to an end for a while.
For a very long time.
Yes.
But it did not come. Mm. And all the places where they said it is going to sink, Swami had planned all those places. So my father says, Swami, my daughter, why are you sending her exactly those days? Because my father had read the Nostradamus. So he says, Swami, why are you sending her on those days when London has to be sung, New York has to be sung? Why are you doing that? Swami said, don't worry, she'll come back. But my father was not happy about it. And Swami was going on changing the itinerary many times, you know. And I was not bothered, you know. I said, whatever he wants me to do, I'll do. I told my father, you have no say in between both of us, so let me go. And then Swami called me over here in Puttaparthi. He stood on this side of Purnachand Auditorium. He sent Vibhuti. He said, I'll send you 3 packets. 3 months, this Vibhuti will take care of you. And don't worry, you'll come back safely. I said, okay, took his blessings. He'd given me blessings downstairs in the crowd. I sit in the first sat. So there he gave me Namaskaram and he sent me Vibhutis and said bye from the balcony. And I went to Bangalore, caught the flight the next day and I went. I reached Paris. My baggage is not there. I have come for a 3-month holiday and my baggage is not there. Like, I was thinking, oh my Lord, my clothes, what do I do? I'm so fat, I don't even get clothes myself. So I was just praying, say, Sairam, Swami, what happened? I only had my trolley bag, my laptop and my coat. That was all I had with me. Then it was, and I went to the counter and I told them, they said, oh, your baggage is not come. Can you give us your address? And we will send it to you. So I said, see, I'm going to Switzerland and I'm going to stay with Harish Premji. He said, oh, he's the first Indian to be in Switzerland. They knew him very well. They said, don't worry, we will, tomorrow morning you will receive your bag. I said, okay. And I said, how far is the station? Oh, just here. And here me, who can hardly walk straight, pulling that stroller, and I went. And just here was very far. I reached, I had to change 2 trains. And then reached the main station to catch the train to Switzerland. Somehow or the other, in the flight, I had some French ladies from Pondicherry, and they wrote it for me in French, which trains to take and where to get down and, you know, get guidance. And I managed the whole show, changed 2 trains, I reached. When I reached the main station, in front of my eyes, the main train goes. And I was like, oh my Lord, what's happened? The train has gone. And I was just saying, Sairam. I don't know what to do. I was so scared. Then a gentleman comes in a yellow check, mustard check color coat, curly hair and dark face. And I had a mole, you know, it was Swami. And he says, it looks like you have lost. You're lost. I said, yeah, I'm lost. My train went in front of my eyes and I have to go to Switzerland. So he said, okay. He went and he got a trolley. He had some francs, he went and got a trolley. He put my trolley on that and he put my coat and he said, put your laptop. And he was pushing my thing. And I was coolly walking. Like, no one will do that in another country because that person can walk away with you.
Yeah.
The stranger can take all your things. And that was the only belongings I had. But I don't know. I just allowed him to do it. So he says, okay, your train is gone. Come, let's talk to your host. So we spoke to my host. He had some francs. He spoke. And he told him that I missed the train. So the man said, so what can I do about it? Stay in Paris. I said, stay in Paris? No, no, I can't stay in Paris all alone. Then I put the phone down and his wife started shouting at him. She's Swami's guest. How can you tell her? And she's a girl who's come all alone from India. And how dare you tell her such a thing? So then they felt bad. But those days, mobiles were not there. So they just were praying that I ring them back again. Then he told me, come, we'll go to the foreign exchange. And he told me the US dollars, we'll just change a few dollars so that you have money. And he got me French francs. And I was very cool. He was taking the...
You had a nice attendant.
Trolley. And I was aram se, I was still with my sairam. And he was carrying everything. And then I went there because carrying, I can't walk straight. So I was able to walk straight because he was carrying the load. So then I went, he got me the change. Then he said, there is a train which is going to Geneva, which is quite close to where your friend is staying. It's just 2 hours from his house. And he knew everything. I never told him anything, but he knew everything. He says, why not we call them up and ask them if they can come to Geneva to pick you up. I said, fine. Again, we put the coins and we called up. They were very happy. They said, come to Geneva. We'll drive down to the Geneva station and we'll pick her up. We went to the train. He tells the TC, she's lost her ticket. Her train has gone. If I go to buy another ticket, she's going to lose this train and she has to go to Geneva. So please let her sit. The whole compartment was alone, only one black person sitting over there. And I didn't even notice him. Then he told me, okay, he comfortably put my luggage in and told me, you sit here comfortably, he put everything. Then he said, I said, please take this money. Because he had spent so much of money on me, trolley money, phone money. I said, take these few francs. He said, no, you keep it with you, it will come in handy. I said, no, this is my last birth. Where will I come back to return this money to you? So you please take this money. So Swami started laughing. And he realized that I still not realized that it is Swami. So Swami, he said, okay, bye, take care, have a nice journey. And he went. And I was just looking around, no one is coming, you know, and I only saw this black person sitting. And I said, okay, never mind, train is empty. Then suddenly he came back. And he said, see, you ate last in Delhi and you have not eaten at all and it's going to take you so many hours to reach Geneva. So I've kept you next to the pantry and one thing with me, you know, I'll sit like this only. I won't look here, I won't look there when I'm lost. So he said, just behind you is a pantry in your compartment. Just get up, go there, take this salad. This salad is pure vegetarian. He told me the name of the salad. Take this bread. And take this Coke, because everything else is non-vegetarian. He specifically told me what to take. And he said, you have not eaten, you ate last in Delhi. Then I realized, I said, I didn't even have a conversation with him. How did he know that I had not eaten at all? Then I realized he saw me, and I felt so bad, he don't ask. I said, oh Lord, I made Swami carry my bag and everything, and you know, I felt very bad.
Was he still there when you realized?
No, he wanted me to realize, and he vanished.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the train started, I had that thing. When I reached Switzerland, my host had brought food for me because they said I have not eaten. And in one of the buildings, they parked the car. And then I told them, I said, see, this gentleman, no. And then only uncle, I realized he was Swami. And then I started thinking, curly hair, golden color coat, and a mole on his cheek. It didn't strike me all this time. I said, very late, I realized. Uncle said, 2 hours, a foreigner is going to help you? You have no sense? For 2 hours, someone going up and down the station with your luggage is no one else but Swami. So immediately, I called up my father. And Daddy used to always be going to Vrindavan. Because in the 3 months Swami was in Vrindavan, getting day to day what I was doing. So then he asked, I told my daddy, Dad, please thank Swami. I'm so sorry. I made him carry my luggage and everything. I didn't know he was Swami, but he carried everything. And tell him thanks for everything what he has done. So Daddy said, okay. So Daddy went and he told Swami, Pakoda and said, very, very sorry and very thankful. She says, Java, what to do? She should ask the neighboring person, no, about the train. She's standing there only and she's saying, Om Sairam, Om Sairam, Om Sairam. And she's not seeing anything, so I had to go to her help. And first of all, she can't walk. So I had to do all this for her. So daddy thanked. Then every day he used to call to find out. Means my father had to call and ask what I've seen. So my host showed me the whole of Switzerland, east, west, north, south, everywhere I went, because the report had to go to Swami. 10 days I stayed in Switzerland. And the bag came the next day. And you know what was a trick by Swami? He knew that I will not be able to pull two bags and go to catch the train, one big bag and small bag. So down at the, this is what you say, the belt, it was left, conveyor belt, it was left downstairs. The bag had come with me in the flight.
Oh, I see.
But it was Swami's trick, he kept it at
then
the...
Then they delivered it to
at
your
my host
house.
To my host house. Then my host said, see, Swami did this trick with you, means you can't travel with so much luggage.
Mm-hmm. Less luggage will come.
Yeah, so they told me, you just carry your trolley bag, and they say, we'll keep your bag here. I was to take the Europe trip. So they say, when you come back to Switzerland, on the way, we will give you your bag. So then you don't have to lug it along full of Europe. So I said, okay. And they arranged it, you know, because every day Swami was finding out my trip. I never had pizzas or anything in Europe. I had potato sabji, yogurt, and puri and thepla. They packed food for me and they gave me. I never ate any of the English food at all. And when I reached Switzerland, I mean when I reached again Lausanne on my trip, they brought me a full reload of food. So Swami saw to it that I never had any of the pizzas. I thought I'll eat one pizza, but I never got a chance because I had such beautiful Indian food with me. And the trip was great. From there, I left the group. I come back to Paris. When I come back to Paris, suddenly from the conveyor belt, I see Swami coming back again. Now I know he saw me. So I smiled and I said, Sai Ram and all. And he says, okay.
Wait, how did you, what do you mean, Swami?
Same dress.
Same person who
same
you
person.
Had met.
Yeah, same person.
Okay.
After 10 days.
After 10 days.
And he comes up the conveyor steps and...
Escalator.
Escalator. And I'm standing this side. So I said, hello, Sai Ram and all that. Because now I know he saw me. There's no way because Swami confirmed it. So then he said, how was your holiday in Switzerland? I said, it was beautiful. And actually what had happened, it was the month of April. And it doesn't snow in Switzerland. And Swami told me I should go every year to the Himalayas. I had a liking for Himalayas. So every vacation I went to the Himalayas. So Swami was upset. He was scared. He said, Java, your daughter is going to take sannyasi, so let her not go to the Himalayas. So they fooled me, telling me there's a lot of snow in Switzerland. You go to Switzerland, there's plenty of snow. When I reached Switzerland, there was no snow. I said, Swami, you fooled me. There's no snow over here. It's all like, you know, India, like Kashmir or anything. And suddenly that night it snowed. So wherever I went with my host, people were saying, Prinji, don't you think it's odd having snow at this time of the year? They said, no, this is the girl who brought the snow. Because it was Swami's way of showing me the snow. And I played with the snow over there.
So then, how did Swami talk to you in the airport when he came up the escalator and you were aware this person is
saying,
Baba?
Hi, how are you?
All hi.
Because we are in Paris, no?
Yes.
Hi.
That no, bonjour. He didn't
no,
say
no,
bonjour.
No. He spoke to me only in English. Okay, how did you enjoy your holidays in Switzerland? I said, it was wonderful. Because now I know he saw me, no? And he's asking me directly. So I said, it was a beautiful holiday because the snow fell. So then he said, okay, now I'll take you. Now you have to go to join the group from Paris. I was going to see Europe. He said, we'll go by train. I said, no, I found out from my host, it is better I take a taxi and I go. No, we'll go by train. So I argued with him even there, though I knew he was Swami. So he said, 1 minute, I'll go and phone. So he went and he rang up. He found out there's a station where I had to go, but then I had to again climb up the escalator and take my bag and walk on the street to the hotel. So he said, you are right. I said, Swami, I asked everything from my host and they told me not to do that because from the station I have to walk quite far to the hotel. And you know me holding this bag and going up the escalator, not possible. First of all, putting myself on the escalator is a problem. Then holding the bag and going. So he said, no, you are right. Let us go. Again, he took my bag. I said, no, I can carry it. He says, you walk straight, I'll carry it. So everything he carried and I was walking. He went, there was a person already seated in the taxi. What he said, I don't know anything. He just told the driver, you to take her. What language he spoke also, I don't know. The poor person who was sitting inside the taxi got out. I was in the taxi. The driver and Swami opened the bonnet and put my bag. And then he wished me bye from the window and he just vanished. I just said thanks and he just vanished.
What do you mean by vanished? He just,
in the crowd. You could not see him.
Okay, he walked away.
Yes, walked away. You could not see him at all.
Hmm.
And I just said my thank you to him and like I felt very... Now though I knew this was Swami. I reached exactly on time when the bus came from the airport from India. The passengers, which group I was to join, they arrived at the hotel and the same time I arrived. So both of us reached there at the same time. So that was the second experience. First was in Kailash I experienced. Then I experienced over here. Then I had gone to Jangprao. And now Jangprao is full of snow. This complete snow. And my host was a little bit naughty. So he was also showing me around Jangprao. Suddenly, he said, okay, Rani, I'll click your photos. And when he went to click my photo, a black raven came and stood next to me. Where in snow will you find a raven? So he said, Swami is protecting you. I have the photo of the raven and me standing together. He says, every moment Swami is supporting you. He's not letting you be free even a moment. I said, yeah, uncle, I didn't even realize it. It was so nice, a full white background and a jet black raven standing next to me posing for the photo. And Swami had given me 3 vibhuti packets. There was this black person who was not well. And abroad, it's a very funny thing. When they know that the person is going to be no more, they start doing preparations for the funeral and all. The person is still living, but they do the funeral. And uncle told me that this person is in his last thing. I said, uncle, let's go and meet him. Swami has given me 3 vibhuti packet. I can give this person 1 vibhuti packet. So we called up there. And that man, he throws out all his things, jumps from the hospital bed. There was a little bit of misunderstanding. He's about 2 hours from where I was staying. He says, Swami sent a devotee and with vibhuti. So he drove down from the hospital.
The patient.
The patient. And I drove to his place. And when I went to the door, he was not there. So then they called him up. He says, no, I've reached there. So there was a little bit communication gap. Then he said, no, you wait there. I'll drive down back. He came back and he took us inside his house. That is the first time I saw. Like, we only keep a temple and, you know, a chair for Swami in the house. This man had a full room for Swami. A bed and everything. And when I saw him, I felt I had seen him somewhere. Then I told him, brother, I think I've seen you somewhere. He says, let's recall. Then I remembered once for the Paduka program. See, I'm not used to standing in lines. I'm used to always going in at the last moment. So for the Paduka puja, there was a big line. And uncle wanted me to take the Padukas for some Swiss people. So I said, I'll not stand in the line. I'll come and join you all when the line is moving. Because I stay here in the round building. So this guy was holding the place for me. And then I joined the line and he sat next to me in the Paduka puja. And he was very surprised when Swami came and he said, oh, Pakoda, even you're doing Paduka puja. I said, no, Swami, not mine. Some devotees for whom I'm doing it. He said, okay. So he put a lot of rice on me and then he put on. So this guy remembered me that way. And I remembered that he had a whole night stood in the line keeping place for me. And he was a person. And he got 1 year extension of life with that vibhuti. The next year he passed away. But 1 year extension Swami gave him. So that was the reason why he gave the vibhuti.
Now your experiences are just stuff that we read in books. You know, it's just miraculous. It's amazing what you have experienced with Swami. Based on everything, your childhood with Swami, when you were left at his feet with your polio, the business ventures you've been through, the education, everything. When you look back, Rani Jawa, who is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba for you?
Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba is my breath.
Breath is air.
No, he's air. Without him, I cannot live. Without air, without breath, I can't live. He is everything for me. I'm nothing without him. There's nothing. There's a zero. If he's not there, I'm not living. I'm so much immersed in him that I cannot even think of a moment living without him. And even at the Mahasamadhi time, he prompted me. That time I was the principal of the college and we had that signing of the examination chits for the students. And the call came very strong to me to come to Padti. My chairman did not like it. I just signed all the examination tickets and I left the college and I caught the bus and I came to Padti. I was very, very shocked, you know. Actually, after Swami, I was a bit hurt because he had told he will be living for that many years and then the solar calculation and the lunar calculation came. So then I calculated my age according to how Swami had calculated. And from that day, I have not been able to sit on the floor. Otherwise, till date, I always sat on the floor. But I can't sit and get up from that loss. So you can imagine just that shock was enough to this. So I know that I am nothing. For me, he is everything. Say anything. And the most important thing for living being is air, your breath. If your breath stops, you are no more. So if he is not there, I am no more. This everything of mine is his.
Mm-hmm. Life breath.
Life breath.
You know that chair over there in the studio, Swami sat in it when he inaugurated our studio. If Swami was physically sitting here, visible to your eye, what would you say to him or do?
I would say thank you for everything. And your sankalp, thy will shall be done. Bas let me merge in your lotus feet. That's it.
This time, no picking fights.
No picking fights.
We're done doing that.
Yeah. And I've enjoyed life. Though everything ups and downs, he's always been with me. But I am ready whenever. I would just love to merge. Even when Swami came out for darshan, my concentration was only on his feet because for more than 12 years, I've been massaging his feet. So my concentration has always been the feet. I don't look at Swami up. I always look at his feet. So that is the only thing. I would love to merge in his lotus feet.
Rani Jawa of Joy Ice Cream Factory, has been a great joy to have you in the studio to hear about your love for God and your experiences. Thank you so much for your generosity, for sharing them with our listeners.
Thank you very much for giving me this chance. And it is his wish. I am not a speaker at all. As I told before also that when Swami asked me to speak, I never spoke. I ran away from the public speaking classes. So today, whatever I spoke is he speaking, not me. Because I'm not a orator at all.
He did a great job.
He has done. So don't thank me. Please thank
me. Thank you, Swami.
Thanks,
Swami. And thank you, Rani.
Yeah.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and thank you for your company on Morning Glory on July the 3rd, 2014. I hope you enjoyed part 3 of my Tryst with Divinity interview with Miss Rani Jawa of Bangalore. Personally for me, it was quite a treat from Bhagwan to just listen to Sister Rani's story. The love and purity of the relationship that she has enjoyed with Swami touched me really deeply. I hope it did the same for you. We will be eagerly awaiting your feedback by email at listener@radiosai.org.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, before I wind up Morning Glory and offer this pre-recorded July 3rd episode at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. No. I have not forgotten. I will leave you to enjoy another one of my favorite episodes of Fleeting Moments and Lasting Memories from our Classics collection.
Today I have picked an interview with Ms. Shailaja Nagaraja, and please enjoy it after these messages.
Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kotesa. I asked him, is it compulsory to go for darshan?
Oh my God.
I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I've joined the Satya Sai College I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall, and he's not something so distant. It's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench the student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle. Again, it was arm wrestling with Swami. With Swami.
And having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in his institutions and directly experienced his love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect his teachings.
Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can also listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/sai-students. That is radiosai.org/SAI-STUDENTS. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Shailaja Nagaraj was born and brought up in the city of Bangalore. Her maternal grandparents and the rest of the family came into the Sai fold in the 1970s. Shailaja comes from a family of three girls. Between her siblings, across her extended family, someone or the other has been a student of the Sai educational institutions for most part of the 33-year period, spanning 1977 till 2010. M.N. Shailaja, as she was then known, joined the Sri Satya Sai Arts and Science College in Anantapur in 1983. She completed her intermediate studies by 85. Thereafter, she joined her undergrad program at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and completed her B.Sc. in Home Science in the year 1988. Later on, she pursued her postgraduate studies in psychology from Chennai's Annamalai University. Shailaja followed a rather unlikely career path after her studies. In 1992, she began with a sales and marketing job in Bangalore, and by 1998, Shailaja moved on to operations for a corporate help desk in Bangalore. In the year 2002, she joined America Online, or AOL, in Bangalore as a service delivery manager, rising to the position of director operations. She moved up the corporate ladder to take over as vice president, operations for South, comprising of South India and Sri Lanka, with Aegis BPO. Shailaja comes from a family with intergenerational connection with Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Nicknamed the Chettiar family by Bhagwan, Shailaja Nagaraja has enjoyed profuse Sai blessings ever since she was a baby. Sai Ram Shailaja, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Karuna, and thank you very much.
Your family has been coming to Bhagwan Baba for about 40 years now. How is it that Baba insists that you have been devotees for 60? The math doesn't add up.
When Grandma was 20 years saw Swami at somebody's house. She didn't know who he was. She just thought a great soul is here. And she did the production, left after that, and came to Swami actually in the 1970. But Swami always adds those 20 years and says, you've been devotees for much longer than that.
What was it like to have known Swami then, that is in the 70s? Could you please share some of your family's experiences from those days?
I think it was one of the most beautiful times. Swami used to be in Whitefield very often. So mom used to take all of us. Grandma would be there. We would take a bus or a train that time to Whitefield. Actually, there weren't any buses. It would be the train. And we used to have lovely darshans. And I think the first experience for our family came when, Dad, in his middle age, he was an asthmatic patient and used to be very sick. Swami came in mom's dream once, gave her an address and told her, go there. And it was in Malleshwaram, another suburb in Bangalore. And mom on a Sunday took all of us and went to that house. And when she knocked on the door, the man said, please come, I'm waiting for you. And then he gave mom a Rudraksha and he said, have your husband take the Teertham from this on a daily basis. That's the holy water. And have the Rudraksha around his neck. So and that's a holy bead.
He would pray to it every day, bathe it.
And he would take that prasad every day. And till date, Dad does that. And that Rudraksha is around his neck. And I think protecting him every single day.
And how is his health now?
With a few ups and downs. But Swami is there. So he takes care of him continuously. And at any given point of time, even when there have been instances, Swami is always blessed either through Vibhuti or through Darshan and takes care of him. Some of the other things were, when I had finished my graduation, that was in 88, and I attended the convocation, I couldn't see with one eye. I'd lost vision in one eye.
All of a sudden?
All of a sudden.
And what triggered it?
Absolutely no idea.
No sty, no infection.
No sty. I thought it was a sty and maybe it wasn't really visible from the outside, but my vision was gone. So, my friends used to tease me, so you're having a one-eyed convocation. Went back to Bangalore, the doctor checked and then he said, you have an inflammation of the optic nerves. So, we'll start treating you. And they began with steroids. So, for over a month on steroids, my vision returned and I was perfectly fine. Then, again in Jan, my vision went away. And again, I could not see with one eye at all. And this time they suspected maybe it was a brain tumor or something that was pressing on the nerves, which was what was causing this loss of vision. At this point of time, we went through the CT scans. We went through everything. Everything was normal. And the doctors could not figure out what was wrong or what was causing it. And at that time, Grandma said, come, let's go to Parthi. So both of us came to Parthi. We came in on a Monday. And Tuesday morning, he called us for an interview. And the minute Swami looked, he said, hey, Mindy, what happened? I said, Swami, I can't see with one eye. He said, I know. Don't worry. He created Vibhuti. He gave it to me and he said, take this. He said, stop all medicines right away. And at that time, I was almost on 60 mg of Vicodin, which is a steroid, on a daily basis. He just said, stop all medicines as of today. Just take this. He gave this Vibhuti. And then he said, take lots of vitamin A. And I stopped all medicine that same day. And he said, what do you want to do now? And at that point of time, I said, Swami, I want to do my IAS. And he said, what is IAS? I said, Sai. And he created this ring with Shirdi Baba and Sai on it, put it on my finger, and said, don't worry, everything will be fine.
And but you meant Indian Administrative Services, yes, which is a competitive exam.
Mm-hmm. And he gave me this ring, and he blessed me.
It has a nice Shirdi Baba on it.
That's right.
And SAI written in English.
SAI written in English.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And we came out. In a few days, he came to Whitefield after that. And while I would be sitting in the line, he would walk by and say, Kanpistunda, can you see? And then he would show his fingers and say, Kanpistunda, can you see?
Good eye
and
test on
good
the
eye
spot.
Test on the spot. And he would really deeply look into your eyes. And over a week's time, my vision was back completely. I've never had another headache like that again. I've never had to even wear spectacles till now. Right? So I think it's Swami's grace that I can see today, I can read today, and I can look at him with both my eyes. So
just his word
that
restored
is,
your
that's
vision.
His word. And when I went back to the doctor and I said, I'm sorry, but I won't be taking any more medicines, she said, there are many things science cannot understand and faith works miracles, so please, it's fine, don't worry about it.
You're walking proof of
yes,
that.
Yes, very, very much.
Wonderful. So IES went by the wayside right
by
there.
By the wayside.
So we'll come back to your professional growth at a later point. Shailaja, you live in a rather unusual family setup for this age and day. Yours is a matriarchal joint family.
That's right.
And I understand three generations live under the same roof. How does this work? There must be a lot of dynamics of interpersonal relations at work here.
I think it's Swami's grace. I think he brought us together. He told Grandma, keep all your children with you. And he wanted us all to stay together. And I think that's exactly what binds us and keeps us together. There might be a few little ups and downs, but truly speaking, we've never had any concerns. We live together very happily. And none of us will ever want to do anything that can make Swami unhappy or disappoint him. So we would not do anything to upset that. And I think we get along very well because of Swami's grace. And his grace is what binds us all and keeps us together.
I see. So he's like the head of your family?
The head of the family.
Uh-huh. Your grandmother, she enjoys such a warm relationship with Swami. They were almost like buddies. And I think, if I may say so, as a result of her closeness, you all enjoy great fringe benefits of divine grace. So tell us about her personal relationship with Swami.
Grandmother was a very, very simple woman. In her simplicity, she would speak or ask Swami whatever was in her heart. In the 80s, during the first interview, when my uncle was supposed to be getting married, you know, and my uncle was very stubborn that if only Swami performs the marriage, would I get married? Otherwise, I won't. And in that day and age, when your son says, no, I'm not going to get married, there's a huge pressure from the extended family on, you know, why aren't you getting your son married? She went to Swami and said, Swami, what do you want me to do? And he doesn't want to get married. That time Swami said, you all look at horoscopes, but I see with my Divya Drishti. I see with my Divya Vision. And he selected the girl and he got him married.
So it was not astrology based?
It was not astrology based. Swami selected the girl,
Divine
Swami
vision.
Performed the marriage. And he performed it so grandly in Whitefield. He said, I won't let anyone say that you didn't perform a good marriage, right? So there were like 27 items for lunch,
wow.
Right? He had such a grand celebration. He allowed us to invite the entire extended family. So everyone had the opportunity to see Swami perform that marriage. It was really very grand. And it was Swami's grace. Like he said, I see with my Divya Drishti while you look at horoscopes, my divine vision.
So this is not the only time I understand that Swami
right.
overruled the convention of horoscope. Although you come from a traditional Hindu family, I understand it has been done again
even
and again.
Even for my sister when she was married,
mm-hmm.
Swami just asked us to get a few with him.
Few horoscopes,
right? He selected the horoscope and said, go ahead with this.
So he just
and
picks
then he
one,
performed the marriage too.
Like a tarot card,
yes.
He just picks one.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And he got the marriage performed too.
I see. Several marriages being performed in your
yes.
house.
Both the marriages were performed by Swami.
Very beautiful.
Both of them. And, you know, if I talk about Grandma, I think he took care of her completely. You know, even when she was sick, whether it was talking to the doctor, sending a car to send her to the hospital, everything, you know, for the smallest detail, he would take care of her. She would say, Swami, naki maati vandi, you will take care of all the children. You know, she would say, give me your word, Swami, that you will take care of all my children. You know, that was her simplicity, you know, asking God that.
And,
right? And Swami said, I will always look after. And truly, I don't think there's been a day, a moment, a second when he hasn't been looking after us. I think every single thing he's been guiding us, he's been taking care of us. So anybody else would have been a little apprehensive to say something like that to Swami, but she was always, she always spoke what was in her heart. So.
She was a very wise woman. She extracted the right boon.
And I think, like you said, the fringe benefits of that boon, it's that grace is with us every single moment of our lives.
Having Swami, the living God, as the head of your family, there must have been many, many occasions when Swami participated in your family celebrations apart from the two wedding.
Right.
Would you like to share some?
Right from the marriages, the Aksharabhyasams for all of us, the Upanayanams that he performed. Upanayanams is the thread initiation ceremony.
Into the Gayatri
into
Mantra.
Into the Gayatri Mantra. So all of these are the 60th birthdays. He's been there. He has always been there. He has always been part of that celebration. He's ensured that we never felt that we did not do something, that he would always be there to celebrate every occasion with us. You know, he's been part of it. And we could not ask for more. We could not ask for more.
But of late, Swami is physically not that available.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile with that? Now that you've got so spoiled having Swami as a family member participating in all the weddings, every child's Aksharabhyasam and Upanayanam and whatnot, does this physical distance come in the way?
I think yes, there is a certain distance today, unlike earlier, right? But grandmother would always tell us whether Swami looks at you, doesn't look at you, talk to you, doesn't talk to you. Just have complete faith that He is the one guiding every decision of yours. And even till date, He guides us. He gives us the signs of what is to be done or what is not to be done. Every single thing. I don't know of any major decisions that have been done without His permission.
But if you're not able to approach Him personally?
There are times when He calls uncle and He talks to him or someone from the family. Mm-hmm. He will send that message.
Hey, that's another fringe benefit of having an extended family.
Yes.
If one person is not here, somebody else gets it. Oh, wonderful. Swami has visited your house many times in Bangalore, I understand. What is it like to play host to God?
It's the most wonderful experience. You know, the first time He visited us, we stayed in a house which was a little into the alley. You know, a car cannot really come and stop right at the doorstep. Mm-hmm. He would have to walk at least 50 yards to come into the house. And, you know, Swami got down on the road and walked in. And it was so beautiful because we were so worried because a car can obviously not come in there. And what would happen, Swami has to walk from the road and things like that. But Swami just walked like it was His home. And when He came out after the 1 hour that He spent with us, the whole road was packed with people. But Swami never showed even a sign of irritation or anything. You know, He blessed everybody and then got into the car and then left. He never felt, oh, I have to walk from the road or anything like that. So He was so much at home. And it was such a beautiful experience having Him there. And even when we moved into our new house, He was the one who told us to first construct that house. So we did. And then He said, I will come there. You build the house and I will come. So we finished construction. Then we waited for almost 3 years before He finally actually came. You know, He told us one day at Whitefield, tomorrow I will come to your house. So overnight, we opened up the house, got the whole thing ready. And then He came the next morning. He inaugurated the house. It was housewarming for us. And that was when we moved into the new house, which He told us to move into. So.
And that's not the only time He has visited.
He's visited more number of times too. And every experience is something you treasure all your life. He speaks to every single member of the family. He spends time with Grandma. And just watching Swami and Grandma talking, they're like, it's like friends talking. And it's such moments that you cherish all your life, having watched them. Mm-hmm. So,
what kind of things does Swami talk to family members when He's there? Just so curious to know. It's an experience very few of us or our listeners would have ever gone through.
Sometimes it's questions that any of us might have.
Regarding any matter.
It could be any matter. Mm-hmm. And then He would answer that. Or He would just tell us what is the right way to do things. Or Grandma would say, tell us something, Swami. And He would say, what do you want me to tell? And she would say, no, Swami, whatever you say. Then He'll say, no, you tell me what you want me to tell. You know, it would go on like this for 2 minutes. And then He would start speaking. And then He would tell us, it could be philosophical. It could be something about the world. It could be something about the way of life. But He will share at least for a few minutes on that topic. After which He would talk to everybody individually or as a group. And then, of course, He would have lunch. And then He would leave.
How precious, huh?
Very. Mm-hmm. And I think those moments are something you cherish today. You know, those are opportunities. You don't even realize what you've had till when you don't have them at all. Mm-hmm. You know.
Are there any moments or any particular piece of advice from one of those visits that comes to mind?
Yeah, like many times, whether it's admissions in colleges, schools, everything, He would tell what to do. Like for my younger sister, He said, change from science to commerce.
Okay.
So she changed. She'd done her intermediate in science. Then from her graduation, she took over commerce.
Oh, I see.
And today she's a chartered accountant. So, or for
so
my
you
mother.
You never questioned when
no,
Swami said, just change
never
from
question,
science.
No question.
She had no ambitions to pursue a science career?
No.
Or did she
was planning in science, but Swami said commerce, so she changed to commerce. Mm-hmm. Or to my mother when she, you know, she used to be worried about us and not being married. And Swami said, they're working, they're happy. You know, so me and my younger sister, that is, they're happy, so be happy. And I don't think she's ever worried about us after that.
So which is rather unconventional for a traditional family like yours,
right,
that two of the women are working women and single.
Yes.
Swami was fine with that.
Swami was fine with it.
And I guess that
and
worked with your mom.
Very much. Worked for us.
Aren't you both happy to have an advocate in God?
Yes.
That's so special. Now, coming to your student life at Anandpur, what was it like?
I think those were great moments. In my first year in college, that's intermediate, that's plus one today.
Like grade 11.
Grade 11.
Yeah.
Swami came to the hostel 3 times. You know, the passion, the energy when you're getting ready for Swami's visit, I think it has to be seen, it has to be experienced to know what it feels like. And he would visit the hostel so often. And in that first visit, he stayed a day. He came in the morning and left in the evening. And every single moment, you know, his walking those corridors, his walking the prayer hall, his talking to all of us, or the dramas that were put up for him, every single moment is something that you cherish. And each of those visits, I think, leaves behind in you the desire for more. So you want to do the things that will get more. So you want to, pray more, because he leaves you with that feeling, you know, it's like that amrut. You're never satisfied.
Yeah.
You just want more and more and more. And then you look forward to coming to Parthi every weekend. We would come very often then.
And as a student, however, I understand your zeal to pray more when Swami came, but I understand there were occasions when, as a student, you were running into a little bit of issues with law and order.
Oh, yes.
How
a lot
did that? Tell us about those.
Yeah, I would say a little mischief. Mm-hmm. And during intermediate, mm-hmm. and I think our warden, Jamma Madam, would always have her eyes on us, because she would always think we would do something that she would catch us at.
And the Bangalore bunch.
And after our 12th standard, when we had to go in for the degree interview, I must share this with you, I think we were terrified during the interview time about what would happen when we went in, each of us individually, you know, and we were just praying to Swami. Oh, Swami will be very good, please.
Erase the track record
of whatever has happened. Please help us, okay? And we were worried about going in alone. And you will not believe it. At 4 o'clock, power goes off in the university building. And then they had to call us all as a group for their interview. And we were the old students who had just finished 12th. They had finished interviews for all the students coming from outside or entering degree college alone. And she looks at the two of us. She tells the other panel members, yeah, they're all very naughty, but they have promised me they will be very good. So, of course, we promised that we would be very good. And we got our seats. And that was Swami's grace. That was totally Swami's grace. We did not expect it. We were so scared, because we thought, we would get a little ripped in.
Because the past would catch up.
Yes, it would.
So the promise Swami gave your grandma played out. Power going out just before your turn.
And, you know, these are the little things that make you realize, you know, he's always there for you. He's always there for you.
And then during your time at Anandpur, were there any highlights you'd like to share?
During the sports meet time, Swami would come during rehearsals for us. And I was not leading the group in the march past. But during one of those rehearsal times, I just had a small prayer in my mind. I wish I was, you know, leading one of the groups during the march past. And during those rehearsals, when Swami had come in practice sessions that we were having, suddenly he wanted to see the march past. So I actually ended up leading the team that I was walking with.
Oh, I see.
And it just happened.
You were a makeshift leader.
Yeah, I was a makeshift leader for that one moment.
But
I did it in front of Swami. And that makes up for everything. So that is His grace. You know, small little desires that you may have, and He fulfills them. So
it confirms your faith even more.
All the time. All the time. And, there are times when you think of something or you've said something, and He knows. He knows every thought of yours, good or bad, and He still loves you unconditionally. What other way can you, ask for divinity? Only divinity can love you like that.
Imagine if we all could read each other's thoughts.
I think we would kill each other.
Possibly. Everybody would be at war.
Yes.
Within families, within workplaces. But Swami knows each of our thoughts and emotions, our innermost feelings, and yet
and
he loves us.
And so unconditionally. Only God can do that.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Incarnation of love, unconditional love.
And, that reminds me. Once we were sitting in a darshan line, and the previous day after darshan, I was just telling my aunt, yesterday he looked a little old, didn't he? I know. Look at my youthful arrogance, right? I said, I think he looked a little old yesterday. So my aunt didn't say anything. She said, maybe.
And Swami comes out for darshan, walks across, and this is in that arch, first or second arch that we were sitting in. And Swami walks across, and to no one in particular, he just says, Arvain Layindi Kada, it's 60 years, isn't it? And Swami is cross 60 then, okay? And it was in response to the comment I made. So, you know, that's what I mean. And he said that to no one in particular, but we knew said, it was said to us. Yeah. And oh my God.
Yeah. The hat fit the right head.
Yeah, we had shocked faces. Both of us looked at each other and we were like, oh my God. You know, he is the most beautiful, but you know, just that little comment and the way he just said that and walked, he knows every single comment you make in your mind or otherwise.
Yeah.
And another time when my aunt and my sister were sitting for darshan, he walked. And as he was walking, you know, you always pray for those little miracles of, you know, show something. And then he was walking and there were tulsi leaves, very tiny ones. And you know how clean the floor is,
yes.
Right? And as he walked, there were tulsi leaves that he left behind from his feet.
Oh.
Okay. And people picked them up. And my aunt gave it, the one she picked up, she gave it to a cancer patient who was sitting next to her. So those little miracles that he does, you know, and that just sort of makes you feel so happy.
Now, you studied home science,
right,
at college,
right,
and later on psychology, which was elsewhere. But being 5 years in Anantapur, how did it impact you as a person? What did you get out of it?
I think when you study in a hostel, it teaches you to be a lot more independent.
That could be true of any hostel.
Fair enough.
So what about Swami's hostel? Why is it different?
Being together, working together, and praying together, I think that makes a huge difference. Because when you pray together and you're being together,
and you eat together,
you work as a team, you stay together, and it's the same values you take out too. You know, it's not one person's success, it's everybody together. And that team work comes with you. And in the hostel, all of us have duties. It's not just a fun life. So we all have duties that we do. And that teaches you to take on responsibility at a very young age and do well at it. Mm-hmm. I think you carry all of those learnings with you.
Yeah.
And Swami's love, I think that is the most important one. That He is there every single moment with you. That assurance, that feeling that He's never going to let you be alone any moment. That He is taking care. He knows every thought of yours. He's watching you and He's taking care of you. That assurance gives you a confidence that nothing else can ever give you.
So if I may extend the same discussion, your academic credentials don't quite fit in with the professions you have pursued. And you have obviously enjoyed considerable professional success in your life. Now, how do you attribute it to the education you have received? You spoke about the team spirit that you imbibed,
right,
there, which you carried and extended into your work life.
Right.
What else did you take with you?
I think just do your best at all points of time. You know, give it your best. Don't worry about the results. You know, in my first job in sales and marketing, I think for almost 60 days, I never had a single sale come my way. You know, and I was almost ready to resign, thinking maybe this is not the kind of job I should be doing. And
very
I just pray,
isn't it?
Very. And this is your first job, you know, and you want to be successful. You want to make Swami proud of you. You want to make your parents proud of you. And you're wondering, oh my God, you know, what's happening? And then I was just praying to Swami. I said, maybe it's time for me to leave and I should not be in this profession.
And what were you selling?
Timeshares.
Timeshare resorts.
Resorts, right?
Okay.
And that day when I was thinking I should resign, Swami, but this is not what I should be doing, you know, I got 3 sales on that one day. All the effort of the past, you know, just came through, and 3 sales that day. And I don't think I've ever looked back after that. So the point is, just go out, do your very, very best, you know, and you be straight. You don't have to play the games. You don't have to be political. Just do your honest work. And pray that Swami is always there to take care of you. And He will ensure that whatever you deserve is what you will get. And you will never go through an experience without a learning in it. And that He does, whatever He chooses for you is what will happen for you.
So when you say you won't go through an experience without learning through, even the unpleasant experiences have a lesson?
Very much.
More
it's
so,
like
perhaps.
When you have a bad boss, you learn what not to do.
Yes.
And from a good boss, you learn what to do.
Yeah.
So you still learn. You know, whether it's a to-do or a not-to-do.
Not to do.
So, Swami makes you go through them because He thinks it's important for you to learn that.
Mm.
And I think once that lesson is learned, they go out of your life. So, if Swami chooses for something to happen to you, just pray that He gives you strength to go through that experience. I think that's most important, with a positive frame of mind. It's not easy. It's not at all easy. There are times when you're sitting there and saying, how can you make me go through this? Why are you making me go through this? You know?
Did you find your answers?
Most of the time, yes. And then you realize, yes, you know, the result is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if I had to go through this. It's fine. You've learned something out of it.
So hindsight.
But hindsight is always 20/20, right?
Is.
It's only when you're going through it that you feel the pain and the anguish or whatever else. But I think knowing Swami is with you and knowing that He is going to take care of you and will never allow anything wrong to happen to you, that's the biggest positive thing that can go with you on every day at work.
Now, as a vice president in a big American company, a multinational company, I'm sure you were required, you know, the rules of the game, social networking, hanging out together, chilling in the evenings, making contacts, that party scene, socializing, networking that they call the essential extracurricular activity of corporate success. How did that gel with the background that you come from? Because the values set that you carried from the Sai University are not necessarily in sync with that culture.
Very true. I think the corporate culture teaches you a lot of things that you don't need to know. And I never felt the need to do any of those in order to feel at one with the group that I was with.
But were you not at a disadvantage?
Not at all. Not at all. I think they respected you for who you were. And I don't think you need to make it an issue. I think you just stand your ground. And like I say, you're high on life. You don't need a drink to get there. Swami's love gives you that strength to be able to say no to things without feeling like you're missing out on anything. And truly, I don't think you are. And I think they respect you for who you are after a while. And they stop trying to
put any pressure, without making others feel different or less.
Or less. Because you can still have a conversation with them. Yeah. You can still go out. You can still, you know, meet them socially. But you don't have to do things that they think is what life is all about.
So no need to compromise
your values. No need to compromise on anything at all.
But doesn't that give you that holier-than-thou attitude in the eyes of your colleagues? You never found that?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I think, like they say, there are many good people. And I think we've had the extra fortune of knowing Swami. And it doesn't matter whether you're out there drinking, smoking, or not doing it. It doesn't make you feel superior in any way. But it doesn't make you feel inferior when you're doing your networking either.
Mm-hmm. And as far as I can read, it all comes from a place of self-confidence.
That is Swami instills. That is Swami. And I think He gives that to us. Saying, just be yourself. You don't have to compromise on anything.
If you say, I just have to be myself, so who is that yourself?
Like Swami says, you're children of God. Just remember that God is with you at all points of time, in every decision that you make, in every move that you make. Be sure about what you're doing, because you can't do anything without His will.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you remember that, I think that is what drives.
And violating Sai expectation would be detrimental to being a child of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So growing up in a Sai family and, you know, you received the Sai education, at the end of the day, what is your most precious takeaway from this experience, if I asked you to sum up?
I think the fact that Swami is with you at every point of time. He takes care of you.
Omnipresence.
Omnipresence. At all moments. You know, when my mom went through surgery, it was a burst appendicitis. And the doctors weren't confident at all of the surgery that she would even survive it. Swami's grace. You know,
while she was in the operating theater,
she saw Swami's face and she saw him, you know, sort of rubbing that stomach where the surgery was going to take place. And the surgery was a success. So the doctors were surprised. They didn't expect it. You know, they gave very little chance for it to be a success. Or when Grandpa had those many heart attacks, you know. He went through almost 6 heart attacks. One of the times, he had passed. And we were just saying, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, loudly. He came back. And the next morning, when Grandma went for darshan, Swami walked up straight to her in Whitefield and said, Nipaspa kunkal nin kapaden, which means, you know, I saved your marriage.
And
is there a time when
our grandfather lived
a full life? He passed away when he was 96, finally.
Wow.
Right.
Six
heart attacks. You don't survive them.
Yeah.
So easily.
Typically, it's three.
So every single moment has been His. Every single second that He has given us has been His grace. So we're just grateful.
So this gratitude runs through all generations?
Through every single member in the family. you know, the little details that he has taken care of. You know, when my sister was having her child, he said, no operation. And she went through 18 hours of labor. He named the child Ratnakar. And he did the Akshara Abhyas for him. And then sent them from here. Or when my cousin sister had a baby, 2 months she had high BP all throughout. And the doctors were very worried because of her high BP. And it wasn't going down. And 2 months before the baby was born, Swami came in my aunt's dream, and she could see a baby's head being pressed by Swami. Okay? And then he finally did that, you know, head pressing, gave the baby to another lady and said, now give it to her. And auntie took the baby in the dream. 2 months later, the baby is born. They bring the baby out of the operation theater, and when she sees the baby, it is the same.
Same face.
Same face. So he is there in every single moment with us.
Mm, and he had taken care.
And he had taken care.
In the 7th month of pregnancy itself.
That's right. Or for my other aunt, when all the tests said it could be cancer, Swami said, adi cancer kaadu, TB.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's not cancer, it's TB.
Tuberculosis.
And then she was treated for TB and she's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, it's not cancer.
Wow, you have your own divine,
doctor
to consult.
Right? Seriously. There was another time when, during an interview, Swami created a chain and put it for my uncle. And during those times, Swami would himself, you know, fasten the chain. And at that point of time, he just kept his hand there for almost like 10-30 seconds. He just didn't take his hand off at all. And we were like, you know, we were just watching it, and it was a nice time. We came out, and a week later, Uncle had jaundice, very severe, where he had to be admitted in hospital. So we knew he had put his, you know, raksha around his neck, the protection around his neck, that helped him recover from that. You know, so things like that. He's been there every single moment, every single day. I can't think of a time when he's not there. And more about Grandma. He would tell, even when she passed away, and we sent word, he said, yes, I know Chatiyarama has passed away. And he told us, don't perform any rituals. She doesn't need it.
Oh, wow.
So we did not do anything.
No shroud, no obsequies, nothing.
He said she doesn't need it. Oh. And he had told her much before that, saying she will not have any more janams.
Also, she went straight.
So went straight, he said.
To infinity, huh?
That's it. And we didn't perform anything. And even till date, other than the Narayan Seva, mm-hmm. we don't do anything.
No pujas, no prayers, no...
Nothing at all. It's just the Narayan Seva. Mm-hmm. And those 3 days after her death, it was the food that Swami sent, that we ate, and that was it. There was nothing we did.
I think it's
so
the
you
first
just have to
I've
listen
heard.
To him.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to listen to him. I remember another occasion when he told my uncle, do not start this business. We did not listen. We went ahead and did it. We lost. When he tells you, do something or don't do something, you have to listen to him. He told my grandmother to give up eating betel leaves, and she gave up that same day when he came in a dream and said, stop.
Hey, and she had the best aunt ever, right?
Ever, yes.
Didn't need even any prayers.
Prayers. So
it makes sense to listen.
Right.
Totally.
So, you have to listen to what he says. You push him, he might say yes for your sake, for your happiness, but he will tell you once of what is right for you.
And that once is enough.
That once is enough.
Hmm. Wow. Your story is very unusual because very few people can even imagine or relate to having such a vivid presence of Swami as a family member tell you
yes.
which business to start, what disease you're suffering from, and
right.
That's very interesting. When you look back, what do you count as your greatest blessing?
His love.
What does it
and
mean
I
to
you? And I think
you
feel it in every step that you take. You know he's going to be there for you. And today, if we are together as a family, I think it's His grace. I think if you are able to see Him in His physical presence, I think it's His grace, it's His love that keeps us all here. And what more? I think His love, you know, in every single facet of your life,
mm-hmm.
in every single moment.
What if something not so welcoming happened? You would still see it as His love?
Yes.
Why? How? If an unpleasant experience came your way, how would you interpret that as Swami's love?
He needs you to go through it. And my grandmother would say, you know, if there are things that happen to you, think of it as your karma that you're finishing while in His physical presence.
And it's easier to handle it.
And it's easier to handle it. And, you know, during those times, especially when we would go to Whitefield, those darshans were amazing. It's like Puttaparthi was his corporate headquarters and Whitefield was a summer holiday home. So you can see him walking, talking, playing with the animals there, those darshans. Those are all memories that you cherish, the tri sessions or the summer courses that used to happen in Whitefield. I think every one of those experiences, you know, you grow up with all of that. You can't ask for more. Even when he gave us this room in Puttaparthi, you know, when he gave us this room, it was, W6 was the last building. And grandma was like, Swami, she's going to be alone here. That was her daughter, would be staying alone here. Grandma, in all her simplicity, said, Swami tan okkate untundi, which means she'll be alone here.
Your aunt.
My aunt. And this was one of the last buildings. Nothing much was here. Hmm. And he said, Nenunnan kada? Am I not there? I'm in that photo, remember? And then there are many times grandma always has felt his expressions or anything changing in that same photo. So he's there. He just said, I'm there. So what are you worried about? Don't be worried. You know, and so he's been taking care of her always.
And there have been sad occasions in the family, but you've all come through together as one.
That's right.
Like your uncle's passing away.
Yes. And I think after uncle passed away, he said, I will take care of... You know, when we all came here, he asked my aunt to stay here. And he said, I will take care of the children. He gave both of them seats in the school. And both of them completed their entire education here. And
so Swami
has been taking
Swami.
Swami today in the hospital. So he takes care of everything.
It's been very interesting talking to you. Thank you so much for your time, Shailaja.
Thank you, Karuna.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear brothers and sisters, you just heard an episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories from our Classics Collection. Under the spotlight today was Miss Shailaja Nagaraja. Your feedback, thoughts and comments to this episode of Fleeting Moments, as well as all Radio Sai programs, is welcome at radiosai.org. With that, this is a very grateful and joyful Karuna from Team Radio Sai, signing off and thanking you for your company during Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Up next is Service Love in Action with Brother Raghu. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to stay inspired. Jai Sai Ram.